happened to me in worship, and you don't think that things funny are going to happen to you during worship, but every time I lifted my hands, I felt my shirt ride up, so I pulled it down, and I got to thinking, that dryer is doing something, and I don't know if it's the Lord or the enemy, but he says, have you ever thought about the refrigerator? But if I tug a little today, that's because the refrigerator, probably. That's not good of God to do that to me, so it had to be the enemy, right? Normally at this time we dismiss our 6th through 12th graders, but they're going to be with us for the next couple weeks as we talk about compassion. So thank you for being willing to stay here. We didn't probably give you a choice, but thank you. We welcome you 6th grade through 12th grade. Normally, for those of you who are visiting, our 6th through 12th leave at this point and go to the Student Center for a service. You know, last week we started talking about how important it is to possess the right stuff if we're going to make an impact for Jesus. See, if we don't have the right stuff in us, we're not going to be much good in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just to remind you, Jesus left us here on this earth to carry on the work he started. Most of you remember what the right stuff is if you were here last week or you watched the broadcast. It's compassion. Compassion is sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Far too often, we think that compassion is just feeling sorry for someone, but it's not that. Unless you have a desire to alleviate the problem, it's not compassion at all. See, the one we are to emulate is Jesus. And he did not have conditional compassion, and neither should we. Last week we talked about the fact that Jesus poured out the right stuff as he was on the way. As he was on the way somewhere. Could be rest. Could have been to speak to people. It could be whatever the reason is not really as important as he stopped on the way and dispersed compassion. We saw that the disciples did the same, and each one of us were challenged to follow suit. We were challenged with two questions. Do we have the right stuff? And the second one, will we disperse the right stuff on our way, no matter how busy or focused we get? Today is part two, and it's continuing talking about compassion. But it's talking about, we're going to talk about the condition of the heart. The truth is that probably over 90% of the time, it's our mouth that either speaks words of compassion or non-compassion. So you might wonder what our heart has to do with it. Well, listen to these words of Jesus in Matthew 12:34, the last part of that verse. For whatever's in your heart determines what you say. Another version says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Another version, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, let's get it over with. Let's all say a collective ouch. Ouch. Because we've been there. We might have been there on the way to church. We might have been there with our family this morning. Maybe you've been accused of having a sharp tongue or readily or eagerly speaking your mind. Or maybe constantly running off at the mouth. I don't know what can describe us. But have we ever considered that this could be a result of something wrong in our heart? Our hearts are very important. Our hearts not only control our tongue, they are the motor and the force for our action. I want us to look at a familiar passage this morning. It's a parable. And as we read this parable, I want us to particularly think about the condition of the heart of those that were involved. Many times as we read this parable, we focus on the action of those involved, but it's really much deeper than their action. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. Just then a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? He answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? He said, well, that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Good answer, Jesus said. Do it, and you'll live. Looking for a loophole, how many of us will read a scripture and we will try to look for a loophole? Looking for a loophole, yes, and just how would you define neighbor? In other words, I want to figure out who I don't have to feel this way toward. Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, they beat him up, and they went off leaving him half dead. And luckily, a priest was on his way down this same road. Luckily, you think. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan, traveling the road, came on him, and he saw the man's condition, and his heart went out to him. In other words, he had compassion. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging the wounds. And then he lifted him up onto his donkey, led him to an inn, made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill, and I'll pay you on my way back. What do you think? Which of these three became a neighbor to the man attacked by the robbers? Jesus said. The one who treated him kindly. The religious scholar responded, the one that treated him kindly. And then Jesus says, go and do the same. You know, it's easy to sum up the problems as all wrong actions. But I want you to see that these wrong actions were the result of the condition of hearts. Kind action and reflections of our heart, just as unkind actions and reflections, they come from our heart. Do I think the priest and the Levite were bad people? Do I think the priest and the Levite were evil? The answer to that is no. But there was something wrong with the condition of their hearts that resulted in their lack of compassion for this man. See, these men probably did a lot of good in their lives. Helped a lot of people, probably loved by many. So what went wrong? The text doesn't say why they avoided the injured man, only that they did. And we can only suppose why. But there are some things that might have played into their reluctance to show compassion to this man. I think it'd be wrong to hate on these men because they were both made in the image of God. But something went wrong in their heart. And just like these two men, we can allow unhealthy things to be built in our hearts at times. I want to talk about 3 common stumbling blocks to compassion. And if we allow these blocks to be built in our hearts, it will directly affect the condition of our heart. Number 1 is pride. Number 2 is prejudice. Number 3 is priorities. I'm not suggesting that there aren't others, but these are some major players in this whole concept. So we look at pride first. Pride is a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether it's cherished in the mind or is displayed in bearing, conduct, etc. The Bible says this. Bible says that pride is something oppressive. It's a haughty spirit and the root of rubble in our life. Proverbs 13, the first part of verse 10 says, pride only breeds quarrels. Another version said, pride only leads to conflict. Another version said, pride leads to strife. See, there's really nothing good in pride. Fact number one, pride leads us to believe that we are the important one. But the Bible says this in Philippians 2:3, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Fact number 2, pride leads us to believe that whatever concerns us is the important thing. But the Bible says this in Galatians 6:2-3, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourselves. You are not that important. We are not that important. Fact number three. Pride leads us to believe that we're free to do whatever we want to. But the Bible says this in Galatians 5:13, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Amen. Fact number four, pride leads us to believe that we're infallible. But the Bible says this in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall." See, pride is an unhealthy building block that thwarts compassion. If you want to have compassion, you can't have pride. It will not coexist. So let's look at number two. It's prejudice. The dictionary said that's an unfavorable opinion or feeling formed beforehand without knowledge or thought or reason. Any preconceived opinion or feeling, either favorable or unfavorable, unreasonable feelings, opinions, or attitudes, especially of a hostile nature regarding others. The Bible calls prejudice prejudging. And it tells us that there's a cost to judging. Matthew 7:1-2, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged." Every time I read that verse, I say, oh goodness. Because I have the potential, the capability of prejudging people. I was at a funeral the other day, sitting on the back row, and there was somebody that walked in. Now, this is last Sunday, you know, it was a very, very hot day. And he had a big jacket, he had a hoodie, and then he had a toboggan that only left his eyes open. And then he had sunglasses on. I saw that guy walk in. I was on the back row near a door, and then it hit me. That young man is here grieving a loved one's death, and I'm sitting on the back row looking for a fast exit because I prejudged him. Now, I don't have a clue why he wore all those clothes. Don't have to know. But how many times do we see someone that might be appeared a little bit different than us, and all of a sudden we look for a way out? Now, I felt really horrible about this. In fact, in the staff meeting this week, I told them, and I said, I'm just ashamed of myself. But it was real to me. But how many times have we prejudged someone? Listen, fact number one, prejudice brings superiority. But the Bible says this in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them." Listen, every single person on this earth is made in the image of God. They might dress different than you. They might wear a coat in the middle of the winter. But that doesn't mean, in the summer, excuse me, we're supposed to do it in the winter. That's right. You know, this shirt is bothering me again. But I lost my point. Anyway, fact two, let's go to two. I think I messed up one, but let's go to, no. Yes. They're all made in the image of God. Every person you ever see is made in the image of God. The church, the people of God, have to get that. We can't be the ones that are accused of being prejudiced. But the prejudice brings also competition, fact number two. But the Bible says this in James 2:8-9, "Yes, indeed, it is good that you obey the royal law as found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, but you favor some people over others." You are committing a sin. When we favor people over other people, we're committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. Fact number three, prejudice brings division. Prejudice brings division. But the Bible says this in Matthew 28:19. Maybe you never thought about it in this way. Therefore, go and make disciples, what? Of the nations that you like, of the nations that look like you, of the nations that you understand. No, it says of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Fact number four. Prejudice brings hate, bitterness, and rage. But the Bible says this, Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Those things, that is evil behavior. Prejudice is an unhealthy building block that will thwart compassion. Prejudice and compassion cannot coexist. Now, this is a little side note, and it reminded me of it because we just read something about baptizing yesterday. Stefan baptized one of our children in the swimming pool. Isn't that awesome? I just think that's awesome. Good job. So let's look at priorities. The dictionary said priorities are the fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important. It is first concern. The Bible says that our priorities should line up with God's priorities. Anything other than that will go against His will. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Seek God. Seek God's kingdom. That's the priority in life. And so often, I'm guilty also, is I'll make a list of the things that I want to get done. But number one should be seeking first the kingdom. Most of the time I can do that. But there's some days that my list takes a little more precedence. But the fact number one is our priorities lead to an improper order. But the Bible says this in Psalms 37:23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life. Our priorities need to be God's priorities. We need to mirror what God says is important. Fact number two, our priorities can lead to a selfish state. But the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10:24, don't be concerned for your own good. It didn't stop there, but for the good of others. Fact number three, our priorities can lead to being critical of other people. But the Bible says this in Matthew 7:3-5, don't worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eyes? Hypocrite! First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll be able to see enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. And I would add that you have the right attitude after you get the log out of your eye to handle the situation of the speck. This is black carpet, and anytime anything other than black falls on it, it bugs me. When I first got up here, I don't know if you saw me bend over, there was a white speck of something right there. And I had to, here it is right here. I left it on my thing. I still got it. But it bugged me as long as it was in there. And far too often, the things that are wrong in your life bug us before we deal with the stuff in our own life. And we're not even qualified to do that. We don't know what caused the speck, but we've judged them. Fact number four, our priorities can lead to a dead end. But the Bible says this in Galatians 5:17, a person's selfish desires are set against the Spirit. If you allow your selfishness to rule, you're going to be set against the Spirit. And the Spirit is set against one's selfish desires. There's this fight. There should be this fight. If it's not a fight, either you're in the best shape ever, Or you just don't even, you just ignore what God's saying to do. It's, they are opposed to each other, and you shouldn't do, so you shouldn't do whatever you want to do. Our priorities can be an unhealthy building block that will thwart compassion. Our priorities and compassion cannot coexist. Listen, I don't know what you've allowed into your heart. But the bottom line is this. We must, unless we have a soft, supple heart, we will not be yielding and we will not produce the right stuff, the compassion that God has for us to deliver. See, if we can grasp the fact that every single person on this earth is made in the image of God and reject anything anti-God from being built in our heart, our hearts remain in the compassionate condition that God desires. If we reject pride and reject prejudice and reject our own priorities, God can use us to pour out his compassion on those in need. The truth is that we all should stand against pride. We all should stand against prejudice. We all should stand against selfish priorities if you're going to keep your heart in God condition. You see, the condition of your heart really matters. And when we reject those nasty stumbling blocks, God can use us in power. When our heart is in God condition, compassion is an automatic flow, even if it's inconvenient, even if you've got other stuff planned, even if it's someone different than you, even if it costs you. So we need to make sure that we live our life with the right stuff. That's the challenge. To live your life with compassion. No matter what. No matter who. No matter when. I want us to make four declarations this morning. I'm going to say them first, and then I want us all to say them together. There'll be a slide too. Number one is going to be, I will be compassionate to those in need. Let's say that together. I will be compassionate to those in need. The second one is, I will be compassionate to those in need, even though I'm busy. I will be compassionate to those in need, even though I'm busy. The third one is, I'll be compassionate to those in need, even if it costs me. I will be compassionate to those, even if it costs me. And the fourth one, I will reject any stumbling blocks that would hurt the condition of my heart. I will reject any stumbling block that would hurt the condition of my heart. See, God is searching our hearts on a continual basis. And the more in tune we are with him, the more we'll notice when he nudges us. If you're like me, sometime you need a little bit more than a nudge. I think the Lord has taken a two before to my head many times before, and it's because I have ignored the nudge. You know, we've got those, maybe you have them too, those ring cameras that kind of set around the house, and we go back and just look at some activity if we're interested in it, and it's like you hit play and you see the little bar running, and then it hits a red spot, and that means something set the camera off. And then however long that happened, it continues. And I want you to see that God is moving through your heart, and he'll stop when there's something that's not right. Amen. The camera realizes that something isn't right. There's motion when it shouldn't be motion out there. And there's a red mark in the graph. As God is searching our heart, he'll come upon a red mark. And it's that Brian has judged somebody, or Brian has had pride, or Brian is putting his priorities over me. And when we repent, he continues. And it goes on down, and maybe you find something else that's a stumbling block in your life that would keep you from living the way He wants you to live. And you just take note. We take note in the red marks overnight. We'll kind of look and see. Anybody come around? You know, some people mess with your cars at night, all that stuff. I'll just look. I don't know if Susan does not, but I'll look. I'll just scan it. And every time there's a red mark, I pay attention. I want to be able to pay attention that much when God says, listen, there's something in my scan that's bugging me. It's not lining up to my will. And I want you to take note. I want you to look at it, and I want you to correct it. See, that's all this conviction of sin is God just wants you to correct it. And the longer we serve Him, the faster we should be able to recognize when there's a red mark in the graph. And we'll pay attention to it. And sometimes when we look at that on our camera, it's a moth that has flown in front of the camera. Sometimes it's an animal that has walked across. Sometimes it is a car that has come around our circle. It can be something very, very small, but if God says, I want you to deal with it, you deal with it. Unless you don't want to have the right stuff. Unless you don't want to live with compassion, God's compassion just exuding out of you. And listen, we should want that. It's not always easy. In fact, most of the time, it's not easy. If it were easy, it wouldn't be a big deal. But we're a stubborn people at times. And we want our way. And we want what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And we're ignoring the red marks in the graph as God makes a scan of our heart. But He wants you to pay attention to those things that He stops on. He just makes a little notch there. And then the camera continues. And if there's something else that comes in the way, He makes a little notch. And we need to go back and review. Yeah, I confess to every one of you about that guy in the funeral. God convicted my heart immediately. But He'll do that if you'll listen to Him. And say, I don't want anything to come in the way, get in the way of the compassion of God flowing out through me. And listen, if you get compassion from me, it has to be from God, because in our own strength, in our own self, we won't give that much. We might give a little here and there. You know, this week, our oldest dog, we had to put him to sleep, and he's 14 years old, and it's been a hard time in our life. And then we got another dog that is grieving like I never saw an animal grieve before. And our hearts are broken. And we watch that one grieving, the other dog grieving. Our hearts break again. God is looking at His people, and He sees you grieving, and it breaks His heart. And He wants to pour out compassion upon you, but He doesn't want it to stay. He wants you to take it and apply it. Apply it in the areas in your life that you have opportunities. Don't let stumbling blocks of any kind, it may not be the three that we talked about today, but don't let any stumbling block be built in your heart that would shut off the flow of God's compassion, because the world needs to see God's compassion. And do you know who shows people what God is like? The people that say they love Jesus. And how often have we sent mixed messages? Yes, we love Jesus. You've heard the old one, the bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus, and the guy laid on his horn and the lady jumped out of the car in front and cussed him out. I heard a comedian the other day said he didn't know some Christians are part-time Christians, and he called this one lady and he said she got really ugly to him and said all kind of words on the phone, and he says, I didn't realize it was her day off, because at church she's not like that. How many times has people seen us on our day off, and we've not shown the compassion that Jesus showed for us? You know, I'm guilty. And maybe you are too. But I think if we make commitments, we make a stand that we're going to be compassionate to those in need, and we're going to be compassionate to those in need even though we're busy. We're going to do it on the way, and we're going to be compassionate to those in need even if it costs me something, and we're going to reject any stumbling block that would impede a heart of compassion in us. That's pleasing to the Lord. God never withholds His compassion for us. But as people, sometimes we make people earn it or deserve it, or if they're like us, or if they're not too much different than us. No, that's not God. The heart of God is to pour out compassion. That's the right stuff. And that's what He wants His church to be known for, the right stuff. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.